of sadness. I seen you when you'd hope to die. I heard you say, well, it's raining all over the world. What did I tell you? What did I say? Just when you think that's gone, give it one more day. And I seen you with your head low.
It is time for KVNF Live Sessions. I am your host, Taya J, joined today in the studio by Chris Wood, Oliver Wood, and Jono Ricks of the Wood Brothers. Thank you three so much for making time to chat with us. It really means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having
us. Glad to be here.
Happy to be here.
You are preparing to celebrate the release of your ninth album, Puff of Smoke. If you had to distill down the mood of the album, what would you say?
Joyful impermanence.
Yeah.
Joyful impermanence. Yeah.
With a touch of surrender.
Yeah. Everything is fleeting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Puff of Smoke.
And that can either freak you out or be liberating.
Can it do both at the same time?
I don't know. I think it could flip back and forth really quickly. I don't think it could be both at the same time. You're either feeling one or the other.
Yeah. But maybe you can choose sometime if you practice.
I love it. I know that mindfulness is a theme on this album. I feel like I talked to Chris and Oliver back in 2023 when you had just released Heart is a Hero. And that felt we talked a lot about vulnerability, we talked a lot about limitations, we talked a lot about showing up imperfectly, we talked about imperfection. Mm-hmm. It seems to me like this album, there's a lot of mindfulness and there's a lot of here we are with our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions in the midst of the world as it is, and we're just going to sit with that for a second. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think accepting the fact that we're ultimately not in control of a lot of things, I mean, especially the creative act, like that's what I think is so confusing about being an artist is you, and one mindset is that it's like, oh, it's me, I'm coming up with this idea and I deserve credit for it. But the truth, when it gets good, it's exactly the opposite. It's not coming from you. It's coming from your environment. It's coming from your bandmates. It's coming from the sounds around you. It's coming from what's happening in the world. And if you are present, then, you know, you distill it instantly into something that's, I guess that's what the creative act is, you know, but it doesn't ultimately feel like it's coming from inside you, like, you know, from my heart. Like, it's that's the way we use the language of creativity, but I feel like the language of creativity is actually not very accurate.
Mm. Yeah, I think some of the mindfulness themes that might come up in the lyrics are also things that we think about while we're creating music. Like, we talk about it all the time. Like, yeah, we're not in control, or let's... You know, when we're in the studio, we are most liberated and I think authentic when we just let go of control, trust that something cool is going to happen, and just choose things, maybe preferably things we haven't chosen before or that we haven't heard before and that excite us that day, but just trust that if we just go with it, the most authentic thing will happen, and that is being mindful, you know. So making music is a very much a parallel to how to live, if you want it to be. Making art, let's say.
That's the clearest thing we know going into a project is what we're not going to do.
Yeah.
You know, because based on what we've done before, there's always this urge to explore new territory. But because we haven't been there yet, we don't know what it is. So we kind of have to just stay present to pay attention to what's actually happening. And that hopefully will lead us there.
Do you ever find that it's not working if you're not present? Because, you know, working with three of you, you're working with three different personality types, moods, life experience, moments. Mm-hmm. Do you have moments where it's just not working, that
flow?
Oh,
it's moment
to
moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just normal. Like every, you know, some days you wake up.
Within a few seconds, it'll change.
Well, I think that's what's why I think we feel so lucky is that we're working together with, we respect each other so much and our musical opinion. So I think a lot of artists, they get a producer to help them on a record, right? Because you need someone with that objective perspective to, when you get lost in the project, in the creative act, sometimes, you know, you abandon things that are actually good or you keep working on something that's not working. And if you work with people that you trust, they, like Oliver and Jono, for me, can really give me that perspective. Maybe on when I'm having an insecure moment, they can be like, no, that's actually working. Or, let's find another way to say that. Or, you know, and we take turns in that producer role with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's took us a while to learn how to do that, but we realized that we were good at that, at just sort of tag teaming the producer role with each other and really trusting that. And that trust allows us to now just enjoy the creative act together and not know what the hell's going to happen, but love that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a lightness too, like,
yeah,
it's
playful.
Like,
that's, you know, when you know you're in the zone, when it feels playful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We capture that, or
yeah.
But we've talked about it a bunch with like trying to learn to play these songs live that we did one time in the studio, one day we just came up with, and remembering that for a bunch of them, when someone's like, "Ah, it's a cool keyboard thing you did," remember back, I was like, "Oh man, I was struggling." I was like, okay, I want to do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you guys are like, no, it's cool.
You do it.
It's cool. Keep doing it. Yeah. And it is cool, you know, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
Everybody loses perspective at some point.
I was struggling. Sometimes the struggle gets you out of your head, too. Yeah. It's just like, just completely taken up with that. And
so, meanwhile, your hands are making beautiful sounds. Yeah.
That's right.
I think it's a great testament that you can't create in a silo. You do need sounding boards. You do need community. You do need mirrors in order to really delve into it in the way that I think most of us who are creatives want to be able to do.
Yeah.
It never gets old because we don't really know how it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. The embracing the mystery of it is what just keeps it interesting and keeps it fertile, you know?
Yeah, I love that. The ongoing mystery. I want to just frame this out a little bit for our listeners to give them a sense of when you go in to record a record, you have the lyrics, you have the chords, but everything else that we hear as a listener happens spontaneously in that recording studio. And the amount of trust, spontaneity, playfulness, as you've said, is really, I think, remarkable and not true for everybody. And I'm curious, for folks who are going to go and listen to the album when it comes out, can we talk about a couple of those tracks that first take where you got in there and you just really played ended up being the take that stuck?
Mm-hmm. There's a few like that.
There's a few.
Yeah, I know, like Slow Rise to the Middle, we were like, that's not it. And then we kept trying a bunch of other ones. And then we went back and listened to that first one. We're like, that's it. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? What is that?
And we had never even played a measure of the song.
We never fully played the song. We just spent so much time kind of writing it, trying to get the lyrics right. But then when we went to actually perform it, we kind of nailed it the first time, but we didn't know we did. Yeah. We had no idea we did.
Sometimes the only way to know is to keep trying and then go back and compare, which in that case, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Another song that comes to mind for me, too, is The Trick, where we really just had a keyboard and bass riff and a bunch of lyrics, and we just kind of went for it. And I didn't even play guitar. I just looked at a paper and read the lyrics, and these guys made incredible choices.
It was just kind of improvisation.
It was very improvised. And
gospel music meets free jazz.
but that was the most uncertain one, and in some ways one of the really fun ones, because all the details sort of took care of themselves, you know? Like, we just did it, and it was a mess. And it turned out, wow, that's really cool.
I think what's hilarious about making a record is those first exciting moments where like, the song is actually giving birth, and we're making all these spontaneous, quick decisions. Like, you play drums? No, maybe the guitar. Which guitar are you going to use? What bass should I use? And then we boom, 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 and we do it, and we do a take, and it's these quick decisions and that play a huge role in how the song turns out. But then we decide, okay, well, that's the take. Well, how can we make this a little better? Well, maybe we'll add horns. And what about that guitar riff? And then as the days go by, we start focusing on this minutia that nobody is going to know the difference. But we're obsessed with it. Like, it's a really big deal.
Including ourselves in, like, a few months.
There's this, like, then we kind of hit this wall where we're like, this is ridiculous. It's fine. Just leave it how it is. And it's just like you kind of abandon it because you're like, we've done all we can. If we meddle anymore, we're just going to make it worse. Like, just keep that fresh thing that happened intact. Yeah, and so you don't mess it up.
And it's daunting because you figure once we're finished, this is it forever. Like, it's going to be forever out there. So it must be perfect. And then you get in your head.
But we've all heard music that we're like, well, that's a good song, but it's overproduced. Yeah, it's a little too slick. Yeah. Like, and you can't feel the emotional content of it anymore. And so we're kind of wary of that. Like, when do you stop?
I think we've gone back to trusting that we can make enough music, just the three of us. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. And instead of sitting there too long and being like, how can it be better? Yeah. How can it be better? How can it be better?
It's the challenge of, because part mindset of us needs to be like children playing, and then we all step in and be the adult. And, you know, Oliver and I grew up with this amazing book of children's finger painting with like these incredible masterpieces. But the reason they were amazing is because the teacher would let the kids go nuts, and then right at the right moment, she would just take the paper away,
right,
and it retained this magical moment, you know. And so it's like, when do you take the paper away? And
mm-hmm. Before it becomes muddied.
Becomes just gray blob.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that translate when you take those songs out into the world and you perform them live? How do you keep track of that spontaneity?
Well, you stay in the moment. I mean, you just enjoy what's happening. And you play it like it's the first time. So, like, every rhythm that's coming from John, I'm just like, that's happening right now, and I'm going to dance with it and play the bass line. And when those guys sing, I'm going to harmonize like it's the first time I ever heard it.
Yeah, and sometimes
it's a song.
And oftentimes the songs evolve and change. Yeah. Like, sometimes we're like, hey, you know what, let's make this an acoustic song, or vice versa. Yeah. Or so there's a freshness that we can recreate by adapting to, you know, the big stage or a thing like this, you know, where we break it down in a radio station. It's a whole fresh new thing, you know.
I know I am also unable to want to play something the same way twice. Mm-hmm. Could do it, but I'm not excited.
It's not as fun.
Which is remarkable, really, because you've been doing this for almost 2 decades, and you, unlike other art forms, you know, some artists, they complete a body of work and they let it go. They sell it, they put it somewhere, they let it go, they step away from it. I feel like musicians are unique in the sense that you're returning to material over and over again, night after night.
Yeah.
And what is your relationship to those songs? Just really being present in that moment, trying to just tap into what that song wants to be in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's part of it. I think some songs feel like, in a certain way, are for the audience. And I don't mean like, we're just going to do everything they want to hear. But it is what connects us to the audience. So there's certain songs that people are going to sing along with, and we do them a lot because it makes a lot of people happy, and that makes us feel good. Even if we are playing it kind of like we did the night before, it's different people with a different appreciation. And Chris's bass solo, he might do a whole different bass solo or a whole different keyboard solo or whatever.
Yeah, I think if you can trust yourself and allow yourself to forget that you ever knew the song, it just feels brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this great story about Yo-Yo Ma that his dad would teach him, like, the Bach cello suites. And the way he taught it to him is every day he got to learn one measure.
Wow.
But, you know, memorize it, just one measure. And so he completely internalized these things. And when he performs them, it's like it's just coming from inside of him. It's just this improvisation almost, you know, even though it's Bach's music. I just think it's kind of like that. If you know, songs that we played a million times, they're just in there. So you can just not even think and let it come out. And it feels kind of like an improvisation.
Pray, comma, God listens, is what I read. Way up high on a sign, that's what it said. 800 phone number, gave a call. Still on hold, growing old, waiting for God. And I pray God listens. Yeah, I pray God listens to the band I'm in and the song we're singing. Yeah, I pray God listens. Yeah, I pray God listens. And he's smiling down.
likes the sound. Pray, comma, God listens, I say it's true. I need a girlfriend, guitar strings, transmission too. There's world peace, the hungry, the sick and all, the helpless, the hopeless, waiting for God. And I pray God listens. Yeah, I pray God listens to the band I'm in and the song we're singing. Yeah, I pray God listens. Well, I pray God listens. And he's smiling down 'cause he likes the sound.
That's Pray God Listens from the Wood Brothers, Chris, Oliver, and Jono of the band joining me today live in the studio. What do you feel like you learned from this record? Either about yourself, about music, about the world, about music in the world?
I always learned that there's so much more we can do. Mm-hmm. You know, like it feels like every record, I get really excited about it, and I'm excited about what we're doing, but then it shines a light on, oh, but we could even take that further and do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like I'm already excited about the next one and writing new music.
It's like there's infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
Like we'll never run out of ideas. You know, that feels good. That's
that
exciting.
That feels good to us, too.
Yeah, it feels exciting because there's always new things to try, you know?
Yeah, I think our headspace is just different on each one. And someone pointed out to me yesterday, pointed out things on the record with an objective ear. And like, you're in a different space. Like, like there's different parts of personalities coming through.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah. And then when I thought about it, I remembered feeling different. It was just how I felt in the moment. But I think we all like attack things a different way, or just like, you know, I go through life, you feel more confident to do a certain thing and just show up in a certain way and like
let go more than you did last time, maybe.
Yeah. Just
I think when a band is young or starting out, you know, they don't know what their voice is yet as a band, there's more carefulness about, we can't do that because that doesn't fit into this thing that we think we are, even though we don't really know. And now that like years and years have gone by, we're allowing ourselves to let influences into our songs. Like, for example, on this record, I think there's a lot more Latin, Caribbean moments, Cuban stuff that's a huge influence to all of us, and we love that music. But, you know, we also, well, they call us Americana, so you can't, you know, that's not, that has to be American roots. And, you know, now we're just abandoning all of that categorization even more and not caring. And it's like it's honest because we love that music and soaked it up and listened to it for thousands of hours. So why not
Yeah.
Play it in our own way, yeah. And, you know.
Do whatever we want. And who cares if we ever make any money?
Rise to the middle, right?
Exactly. Rise to the middle.
That's, you got it.
We're here.
That's the name of our career.
Thank goodness for that. You know, it makes me think when they released that you were coming to play this show, I was talking to folks about you, and some folks you mention the Wood Brothers too, and they're like, I love the Wood Brothers, they're incredible. Some folks you mention and they're like, I don't know who that is. And yeah. Chances are you sing, you know, people say I'm the luckiest man, yeah. And they know right away. They're like, oh, of course. But for me, I started listening with the first record. I'm going to date myself here. I'm 31, so I was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
I know that not everybody has been listening to you since they were in the sixth grade. And I'm curious what your experience is when you encounter people on the road who are discovering you for the first time and the sort of magic of that.
The cool thing is looking out and seeing whole families, but three generations.
Yeah.
So you have these kids and the parents and then grandparents, and they're all there, and you don't know who introduced who to the music.
Yeah, yeah, like the, you must have cool parents to, right? Like that's,
she'll be there tonight. My mom will be there tonight.
Yeah, so we notice that, like, sometimes college kids turn their parents on and other times parents turn their kids on, and yeah, so that's a beautiful thing that it stretches like that.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking about how old, what did you say, sixth grade? Wow, I've
what
just never considered that.
Grade?
Yeah, I'm completely ignoring your question and like just considering like how I felt, and that's wild that you were listening to Wood Brothers records.
Yeah, that would be like me telling Paul McCartney, I'd be like, "Hey, man, I was listening to you in the sixth grade," and he'd be like, "You and everybody else."
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't your response, at least.
Yeah. Right.
That's cool, though. Yeah. What did it sound like in the sixth grade to you?
Oh,
or
I
what
loved
did you
it.
Feel
Chocolate
like?
On my tongue was like, that was that I remember really clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I think about that now, because like for that example of the Beatles for us as kids, which was a huge influence, but it was such universal music. It was great for kids. And yeah, I think back to our first record, I'm like, that actually works for kids too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've always been a story song gal. You know, I love a good story. I love a good anecdote or a good snapshot of somebody's experience. I've always been kind of a deep feeler in that way.
Yeah.
So I think it just struck a chord with me. You know, and I think that speaks to it too, because you can not fully comprehend it or understand it. You can come back as an adult and listen to it and get totally new meaning out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it.
But you found a space with it, like it brought you somewhere.
Yeah, and just adapting to the meaning over the years. I mean, that's another thing about all of our songs that kind of goes back to the previous discussion, was that, you know, we may write something 10 years ago that feels like it's about something else now, or just has a different, relates differently to our lives now. And that's what's cool, you know. Like you said, you understand things more on a subconscious level maybe when you're a kid. Like a lot of Beatles lyrics, you know, were just cool sounds to me when I was a kid.
There's so many songs I love. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what they're talking about. It doesn't have any meaning in the sense that I could articulate.
Yeah.
But I feel something and I like it.
But that's music when you listen in a language you don't speak, and
absolutely,
you feel a resonance and you feel an emotion even if you don't understand what's being said.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, I used to be obsessed with these like African field recordings, and it's like this guy playing a talking drum and he's just shouting all this amazing stuff and it sounds like so soulful and incredible. And then I learned that what he's doing is just listing all the ancestors. It's just basically a list of names, but he's singing it.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I didn't know that, because like to me it was just this, you know, spiritual experience, like this otherworldly amazing thing. It's like, oh, he's just listening a bunch of names. It's like that's how they kept track of the genealogy of the town. It's like some guy playing talking drum and
spiritual,
like singing all the names, and that's how they memorized it. But to me it was this song about who knows what.
Right. That'd be just so weird if we did that. If we're like, Uncle Peter,
yeah,
and then there was Grandma Ninny.
I love that. That's art, though,
that's
kind
art.
Of, right? Like,
yeah.
It depends on the context. It depends on who it's resonating with.
Exactly.
And, when.
And there really aren't any rules. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question for you three. I just want to say thank you so much for making time. As deeply feeling, empathetic individuals, what is your approach to music in the world right now?
Well, I think it's I don't know. I notice how important it is in a different way. It's important. Anything that keeps people connected and just does not divide people. And that's the cool thing is when we're at a show and there's 1,000 people there, they may have a lot of different world viewpoints and religions and politics, etc. But the music really bonds, and it creates times where, hey, we're all the same, you know. And so that feels really important, for one.
Yeah, I think, you know, the world is going through a lot of unbelievably crazy stuff, but it'd be easy to write stuff that's preachy. But like Oliver said, that's usually divides people. And so I think it's I think our approach usually is just to like express how it feels, you know, and everyone can relate to whether, you know, there's the reasons why you think that stuff is happening, but then there's just stuff is happening and it makes you feel a certain way, you know, like, and everyone, that unites people, I think, you know, you get past the rhetoric of it and just the feeling that the world has given you. That's one way to get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, and on the same page, I think about just synchronizing, mm-hmm. probably because when I'm not doing this, I'm in the world of dance a lot, and there's like a lot of research now just about the power and the healing power and how good it is just on a person's nervous system to just synchronize with other humans, mm-hmm. whether that's partner dancing, which is, you know, where I was originally coming from, learning about this from. But in that, or if you're just doing a line dance or you're just at a festival, there's like this really powerful human thing that's all over the planet, you know, throughout history, of just you synchronize with music and you synchronize with movement. And it does all the things you guys are saying. It mm-hmm. brings people together and mm-hmm. makes you feel good and makes you feel like okay.
Yeah.
So. It's out of your head and into your heart.
Yeah.
Thank you three so much, Chris, Oliver, Jono. Such
thank
a pleasure.
You. Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks Enjoy for having it. Us.
Every day has a puff of smoke. Before you know it, it comes and goes. Maybe it burns your throat. And if you're lucky, you get high. You take a little ride. Little cloud of heartbreak and hope, and maybe it's God's little practical joke. And if you're lucky, he stops by, and you take a little ride, and you take a little ride. Every day has a puff of smoke, and maybe it's a river flowing, taking you where you're going. And no matter how you fuss and fight, you're gonna ride.
That's Chris Wood, Oliver Wood, and Jono Ricks of the Wood Brothers joining us today live from the KVNF studios here in Paonia. I'm your guest host, Taya Jay. For more KVNF programming, you can visit our website, kvnf.org. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Always smiling. Yeah, take a little ride. Every day has a puff of smoke, disappears in the moon glow. Every day has a puff of smoke.